Josiah was 8 years old when something really important happened in his life. He was just eight when his father was murdered and he became King Hosea. We read about his remarkable story in the Old Testament book of 2 Kings. And his father, King Amon, had been assassinated by his officials after being king for just 2 years. We know that both Josiah's father and grandfather were wicked men as kings and had led God's people away from the Lord for almost 60 years altogether. Even the temple in Jerusalem during this time had become a place of idol worship. His grandfather even had sacrificed one of his sons in a pagan act of worship. This was a dark time for God's people. But Josiah becomes king at age eight, and well, my son is eight, and he's awesome in a lot of ways, but I'm not ready to put him in charge of much of anything, let alone a kingdom. But we find that there's a change as Josiah becomes king. Right off the bat, something is different. For decades before he's born, there had been spiritual wickedness because of the worship that was happening in the way that his father and grandfather had led the people. And frankly, even as he becomes king and is advised on what to do, because of this history within his family, he doesn't fully know what it means to follow the Lord. And yet the scripture tells us that there is something different in his heart, that he walks differently before the Lord as king than his father and grandfather had. We're told he has a good heart. And then 18 years into his reign, something peculiar happens. He sends one of his secretaries to the temple in order to work with the high priest on some repairs that needed to happen. And as his secretary is meeting with the high priest, the priest says, "Oh, by the way, I kind of found this old book. Maybe the king might be interested." And so the secretary goes back to the king and reports about the repairs and says, "Oh, by the way, they found this book in the temple." And the secretary reads to the king from the book of the law, what was called the Torah. What we know today as the first five books of the Bible, it was all that they had at the time, but they had been so wicked that it had been lost, it had been pushed aside. And now as the king hears these words that have been lost and not followed for decades, King Hosea is deeply grieved. He tears his robes, which is a sign of that grief. And he's now 26, having been king for almost a couple decades. Again, having a good heart, but not really knowing what it meant to follow the Lord or to lead his people in that way, he now sees just how far off track they all were. And so he wants to do something about this, and he goes to the priests and the prophets. He says, "Go seek the Lord to see what we're supposed to do about this." I wonder what would happen for us in our country, in our world, if the Bible took a 60-year vacation. I imagine we would find ourselves off course in some significant ways. And this is what they're dealing with. And so the holy people go and seek the Lord, and they come back to the king with an answer, and it is a wonderful answer. God had said because of all of the wickedness in the way that they had worshipped all this other junk that they should be wiped out, that there really shouldn't be any reason for him to continue to walk with them as a people. Yet, because of the heart of King Hosea, this is what came back. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord, because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you. And so God sees that the king is responsive to his word, and God responds then. And 2 Kings chapter 23 tells us that the king does indeed listen to the people that he had asked to seek the Lord, and he gathers together all the people of Judah in Jerusalem. And there in the temple, he reads the words from the book of the covenant that had been found. Now, if you ever think the sermon is getting long on Sunday morning, just imagine sitting there as they read the first five books of the Bible. So, all right, feel a little better about this morning already. Right there, the king and the people, as they hear these words, they pledge to follow God. And specifically, we're told that they pledge to follow and keep his commandments, statutes, and decrees with all of their heart, in all of their soul. So Hosea has said this prayer before God, and he really meant it, and so he's covered, right? He doesn't need to do anything else. He can go out and keep drinking hard with his buddies. He can keep flirting with all the women at work. He can be caught up in gossip and hate the guy down the street because he meant his prayer, right? That's all that we need. We need to be sincere in prayer. No, that's not all. So God speaks, and Hosea is responsive and says, I'm going to follow. But he then begins to realize just how costly it will be for him to follow. Again, there had been some 60 years before he becomes king. And even these first 18 years with him as king, that all of this worship to the idols all over his kingdom have been going on. And Hosea decides that needs to end. And so this isn't just worship in the temple. This is worship in all of these different places of worship throughout his reign. And he decides these places need to be broken and torn down. Everything within God's temple in Jerusalem that was for worshiping other idols and gods needed to be destroyed. He even destroys chariots that were part of the army that had been dedicated to these other gods. So not only does Hosea find God's word and give it a place in his life, but his heart is open. And he makes this heartfelt plea and promise to God, and God makes it clear that this is going to be costly for you to live in this way. And he makes all sort of decisions in line with that. Not only costly for the physical things that are wiped out, but people have lost their professions. People who worked in the worship of these other idols lose their jobs. The military is weaker because of the things that he has destroyed. But Hosea knows that this is what needs to be done. So as we come back today, I think we need to ask ourselves on a regular basis, has the Bible taken a vacation from our lives? Maybe we need to ask, has it ever had a deep part in your relationship with the Lord? We're walking through this series now on our vision statement about where God is calling us as a community to be, but we'll have a very limited ability as a church community when it comes to digging deep in the Scriptures if we as individuals who make up this community don't value this book on a daily basis in our lives. Nothing from the life of King Hosea or from the words of 2 Timothy really much matter for us if we don't at least have the Scripture present in our lives. And so if we want Jesus to lead us, if we want to be a person who is following Jesus, we need to hear his voice. And if we want to know what God's will is for our lives, if we want direction, then our minds and our hearts need to regularly be before what God has to say for us. And what we learn from Hosea is that we must first have Scripture present in our lives. He didn't know what he wasn't following. He didn't know what ways he had gone astray until 18 years into his reign at age 26, when these words begin to be present in his life again. But these are not just words on paper. They need to be words that come inside of us. And so Hosea had to have a heart that was opened to what God had to say. Not only did he need to have the scriptures present and a heart that were open, but he needed to be willing to pay the cost. And so before us today for our consideration is, do we have the scriptures present in our lives on a regular basis? Do we have an open heart to what they have to say? And do we have a willingness to pay the cost when they do speak into our lives? When we say, God, I need direction, and God actually speaks to us. Are we willing to let these words guide and direct us? So why have the Bible as a regular part of our lives? Well, if we pull back into our scripture from 2 Timothy this morning, we're told there that it's God-breathed. These are not just simply words that have some wise things to say to us. They are breathed by God. God inspired the people who lived the lives, who then sat down and wrote these words. These are God's words to us for the living of our lives. In the book of Hebrews, the scripture talks about there about how the scriptures are living and active. And so it wasn't just inspired in the people who lived the things that we read about in these pages. It wasn't just inspired in the people who then sat down to record the lives of those who were inspired, but it's inspired in us as well if we invite the Holy Spirit into the place when we open our hearts before the scriptures and say, God, speak to me. Let this not just be some document that is thousands of years old, but let this be a way for you to speak to me. And so if God is going to breathe into our lives through Scripture, we have to have it open on a regular basis with ourselves before it. But not only does the Scripture need to be present in our lives, but we have to be present in the Scripture. So it's not just a matter of digging deep into the Scripture, but are we willing to let the Scripture dig deep into us? And so Hosea models this in the way that his heart is opened when he hears the Scripture. And so we must ask ourselves, is my heart open as I come to this book? And maybe another way of asking that is, does it ever change you? If you've never realized that you need to do something differently in your life, is a response to something that you've come across in this book, then I think you really need to go before the Lord and say, God, has my heart really been open to you and to your words and what you have to say? Jesus, is my heart open to your word? Does it change you ever? Has your heart ever been broken before the Lord as you've read Scripture? We see in Hosea's life that as the words are read there for the first time, that not only does he tear his robe, which is a sign of grieving, but we're told that he weeps. Have you ever read God's word and found yourself weeping or with tears? I know I have. In fact, I wish I could say it happens more often than it does. Sometimes this happens because I'm simply reminded of God's love for me. And maybe for whatever reason I had begun to doubt that or wonder that, and I needed that reminder. And when the gravity and the magnitude of God's love and grace begins to sink in my heart as I read his word, there's just times that I can't help but let that bring me to tears. Other times I shed tears because as I read, I'm reminded of just how far I still have to go to be like Jesus in my life. And I moved in such a way that I said, God, help me, be with me. Help me to understand the ways that you walk with me and want to be close to me. One of the discussions that we had in our vision statement, particularly as we brought the team who worked on it, brought it before the church council, was, well, what do we really mean when we say digging deep into the Scripture? Is this really saying that we expect that everybody in the church becomes a biblical scholar and becomes great in theology? But it's important for you to know that when we talk about digging deep in the Scripture, this is not just a head thing. And in fact, it would be possible for you to have this whole book memorized. And yet, if your heart isn't open to it, it would be just like any other history book or poetry or interesting philosophy. Plenty of people in the history of the world have had interest in this book. And yet for them, it's a text with intellectual interests, and they've remained far from God. How does that happen? Well, they were present to the word, but their hearts were not open to what was being said. And so I just want to say, you know, one of the things that we often hear about this book is that this is the answer book. And I just want to caution us from viewing it simply in that way. One, from the standpoint of, if this was the answer book and that was how God intended it to be, God seemed to maybe not do such a good job at that. Because the last time I knew, an answer book has a really good, some sort of a glossary or something that I'd be able to say, all right, here's my problem. Where do I specifically find that answer? I'm not saying there aren't answers in this book, but it's not simply an answer book. When do you open a dictionary? Now, some of you may say, I haven't opened a dictionary in a long, long time. But when do you open a dictionary? When you need a definition, when you need to know how to spell a word, which, you know, that's a side debate, but I always tried to explain to my teachers, if I didn't know how to spell the word, anyways. You go to a dictionary, which is an answer book, only when you need an answer. God doesn't desire for us to only come to this when we are specifically looking for an answer or direction. God wants us to come to this book to seek His face, to learn more about who He is and His heart for us and His will for the world. So, yes, this book absolutely has answers, but let's not limit it by only thinking of it as an answer book that we go to when we have a question about something in our lives. God intends for it to be so much more. We come to it to seek His face when we come with open hearts. So as we follow in the footsteps of King Uzziah, we have Scripture present in our lives. We have a heart that is opened, and Jesus reveals things to us. But then we also need to be willing to pay the cost. And as I said, King Uzziah pays a huge cost as his heart is opened before the Lord. If Scripture is going to dig deep into our hearts and be useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, then we need to be willing to do costly changing at times as we come before this word. Now, it won't always be as costly as it was for the king, but we will find ourselves on a regular basis maybe needing to rearrange priorities, evaluate certain relationships, and make different choices about our relationships or how we spend our time or our money or the other resources that God has blessed us with. We can have Scripture present in our life, and we can have a heart that is open to what God is saying, but to let it teach us, rebuke us, correct us, and train us for righteousness, we'll need to be willing to make costly changes at times in response to what we find there. One of the great promises that I know I find comfort for in Scripture is that we are God's children. But what does that really mean for us? Are we only God's children when we need a hug from our Heavenly Father? Or are we God's children who need the help of the Spirit to mature in Christ? Children need teaching. Children need rebuking. Children need correcting and training to become the people they are meant to be. We understand that, right? So if we are to truly be the children of God, that's not just simply when we need comfort, but we need to have hearts that are open, that are willing to do costly things to grow as God's children into maturity. This isn't just all hard work that we do on our own, as we've talked a lot throughout this series. The Holy Spirit is there to help us. The Holy Spirit wants us to grow. We'll really hit on that next week. But if the Holy Spirit is to do that work, we must be willing to do what is costly at times. So Scripture needs to be present. We need to have our hearts open before it. But we'll need to pay the cost as well. And so in our scripture from 2 Timothy, what is the purpose of this God-breathed scripture that is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness? What do we need to be present with hearts open and willing to pay the cost for? Well, in this letter to Timothy, we're told that the purpose of God's word in our life is that we would be equipped for the call. Training in righteousness. This is not just something that happens in our head. So again, this isn't just about knowing things in our mind, but it's about working in our hearts in such a way that God begins to use us. 2 Timothy 3:17, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We'll need to make costly responses to God's words at times because God is trying to thoroughly prepare us to meet big needs in the world. And so we'll need to have hearts that are close to God. We'll need to be deep in what God has led. Christianity is not just about putting on Jesus' wrapping paper around us so that when people look at us, they think, oh, well, that's a good person. They have it put together. God intends for our faith to be such that we are changed deeply on the inside because we walk with God. And God's plan to make sure that that happens, that not only are we different on the inside, but we are serving people who are in need in a lost and broken world is by giving us these words, inviting us to be present before them with open hearts. But if Jesus is truly Lord of our lives, not only are we present with an open heart, but we are willing to follow Him and make some difficult decisions. This book is one of the most amazing gifts that the God who loves you has given in your life. How will you receive it into your life? Will you let it be present on a regular basis? How will that look for you? Will you let your heart be opened? That happens as we pray, God, be with me. Show me what it is you have for me. Will you pay the price when you come across something that invites you to a different walk, a different mindset, a different way of being with others? Well, when you feel those urges, that then is an invitation for more prayer. Holy Spirit, give me the strength and the power to be able to do that. Would you pray with me? Holy God, you call us to a high life, and you do not leave us without resource. Not only are you present with us, but you have given us these words for encouragement. So help us to be present before you in these words. Lord, let our hearts be opened that we would see beyond just what our eyes can read and what our mind can understand. May we find ourselves in your very presence as we open our heart to your word. And then, Lord, as we know and find you moving in the midst of that, may we be empowered by your Holy Spirit to take action, to make change, to respond to the way that you are finding us. Lord God, we thank you for the amazing gift that your scripture is, but I pray, Lord, that we would not let it be lost in our lives, but that we would bring it and let it be a part of our daily walk as we seek you and seek to be your followers in this life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray these things. Amen.